Today's scripture comes from John, 12th chapter, verses 12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it was written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." The word of God for the people of God.
Jesus Christ, our King, the one that stepped low, low, low down to be with his people. He's not the kind of king we expected him to be. A little costume change there. And he's not the kind of king the people that were there that first Palm Sunday on the streets of Jerusalem expected him to be. And I knew that was going to happen. They were expecting a mighty king, a literal warrior, to roll in on the streets of Jerusalem on a stallion. But what they got instead was a king on the back of a borrowed donkey. Not exactly something to rile up the troops that day. And we too, I think, are expecting this great king to come in. All of our hopes are pinned to the tail of the donkey, or rather pinned to the tail of the donkey that Jesus is riding into town on. We saw it this morning as the children gathered. You know, they brought the palms in and we said, "Hosanna," which literally means, "Jesus, save us. Hosanna, Hosanna." We've made all these preparations today. We've had the Easter egg hunt, eggs stuffed. There's a strawberry pretzel salad out there with my name on it, along with a bountiful other feast. We are doing all these things to say we are expecting that the king is going to show up. We are expecting to make him Lord and King of our lives. We are expecting him to be the one that will save us. Why else do we pray to him? "Lord, heal my mother. Lord, get me a job. Father, fix my broken marriage." If we didn't think he had the power to save, we wouldn't be praying to him. And Palm Sunday a year ago was just as glorious, if not more so, because it was Confirmation Sunday. And on that Sunday, those kids up there gathered down here and they knelt on the altar, and one by one we prayed over them that the Lord would stir up in them the Holy Spirit and that they would have the power to claim Jesus as their Lord. And it was a doubly special blessing for me because my youngest son Duke was one of those that we laid hands on. Y'all? All right, that's the third. This is the fourth thing. So Don Bush spills a bunch of pieces of paper, no big deal. Then he spills, where is he? He's outside guarding. Then he spills a bunch of coffee everywhere, and now I can't keep this silly thing on. Okay, anyways, back to Palm Sunday a year ago. It was certainly a glorious thing, and I preached that Sunday, and I had the privilege of asking our confirmands, "Will you be a part of not the Hosanna crowd that's expecting great things and then one day later yells crucify? Will you be a part of the fellowship of believers that no matter what your circumstance is, you still will follow Christ?" Because there's a difference. And I challenged them. I said, at times in your life, especially going into middle school, it's going to be so easy to follow the crowd. So you've got to do two things. You've got to stay in the vine, stay in Christ, the fellowship of believers, and you've got to also stay in the branches, which are our friends in Christ. And those are the way that I challenge these kids to do that. And it was a glorious day. We lifted high the name of Jesus. We shouted, "Hosanna, Lord, save us." And I left there on a high note. I left there on a high note to suddenly, without any warning, come crashing down to the lowest pit of hell you can imagine that next morning. When I received the altogether unexpected and horrific news that my mom had taken her life, the Monday after Palm Sunday, where we were expecting Jesus to save us. And as we buried her into the ground, I buried pieces of me down there with her. Pieces of my hopes and dreams and what I thought my life would be like, what I expected. I buried things like her watching my other kids walk across the stage to graduate. I buried things like her helping me get Chloe ready to be married. I buried things like her seeing the great-grandchildren run around the Christmas table. And me and my family had to get up that next, it was Good Friday, by the way, get up that Easter morning and gather with the fellowship of believers and say, Christ is risen, Hosanna. But I didn't quite feel like saying Hosanna. This was not the life I was expecting to lead. When I signed the dotted line to follow Christ, I thought my life would, I didn't expect perfection, but I didn't think I would endure two tragedies. If you didn't know, we lost our 12-year-old son several years ago at an outreach event at the church that my husband and I served. So to have this double whammy came as quite the unexpected and horrific surprise. And I suspect I'm not the only one in this room that's wrestled with unexpected surprises. I suspect I'm not the only person that's been confused by what God is doing in their life. I'm sure there's people in this room, or you know people in this room, that were not expecting they would be getting a divorce. They were not expecting that their wife's body was going to be mutilated by cancer. There are some of us in this very room that were not expecting to waste away their life wrestling addictive demons, drugs, sex, food, pornography. And I would say for every person sitting in this room that didn't expect to be wrestling with those demons, there's a spouse sitting in this room that didn't expect to walk with somebody wrestling demons. There are those here among us, and I shudder to name them, that didn't expect to have to walk through life filled with bitterness and a lack of trust because of what happened to their tiny little body at the hands of an abuser when they were little. There are people here whose jobs have fallen through, who can't find work, who've lost their home, had to file bankruptcy. There's somebody here whose kid has gotten arrested. You think you were expecting that to happen? So when the dream dies, and when everything shatters, what do all of these spaces have in common? Well, I think all of these broken spaces, along with anything else that happens unexpectedly in a negative light to a believer, it makes you start to question God. You question his favor for you. You question his power over things. You question, does he even really care about me? And so what do we do, believers, when the unexpected becomes the reality? When we think Jesus is coming through on a stallion and he shows up on the back of a donkey. When our plans crumble before us and we're powerless to change things, even though we cried out to God, help me. And in the veil of earthly life, we can't see what heaven is doing. And in those moments, it feels like, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't have all the answers on how to navigate these spaces in life. What I have is a witness of someone that is trying to navigate those spaces in life. I will offer you two tools that can help you. Some of you are saying, nothing really that bad's ever happened to me. Pray up, sister. Now's the time to start putting these tools into place, because eventually everyone's faith is tested in some way. And ironically, the two tools I gave to the sweet little confirmands last year are the same two tools I would give you when you're wondering how to navigate the unexpected places of life. The first thing I offered them was to stay in the vine, meaning you've got to cultivate quiet time in scripture reading with God. But I didn't talk to them really, that was kind of a condensed service. We had so many of them to confirm, so it was kind of tight. I didn't get into why you need to stay in the vine. Well, why you need to stay in the vine is because God wants to be with us. Do you remember that from the Grinch sermon if you were here over Advent? It's a glorious, almost incredible, just insane reality that God wanted to be with us so much that he left his throne in glory on high and stepped low down into humanity. He knows our name. He created us. He's breathed the breath of life into us. His promises are real and true and good. And so when you're facing circumstances that would tempt you to lose your faith in that one God, I challenge you. You got to turn to your scripture. That's the word of God. That is your anointing and your power. And don't just turn to the scripture when bad things happen. Turn to your scripture now when everything's okay to get filled up so that when the bad things do come calling for you, you've got the scripture in your back pocket. So I started searching through scripture, looking for some of these promises this week, and it's just cover to cover of the Bible is filled with the promises of how God wants good for us. So much so that I had to pick and choose ones to share with you, and even I still pick too many. There's just so many promises of God. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. Oh, I can't. I'm not going to be able to read these. Does anybody have their Bible? Isaiah 43:1. I'll try to decipher it. But now this is my absolute favorite scripture. If you ever get an email from me, you'll see this scripture on the bottom. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he formed you, O Israel. This is my favorite line ever. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When, not if, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, because people of faith, we're going to walk through the fire, you will not get burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God who goes before you. This is pretty awesome news. Jeremiah 32:27, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Nothing. Jeremiah 29:11-14, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to give you hope in a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Notice, he doesn't have plans to harm you. He has plans to prosper you. But when your circumstances in life feels like you're being harmed, God can take all that and work in his power and might and turn it good. Because we know he is much more than a conqueror in all things through him who love us. My favorite, I am convinced neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, height, depth, anything created will be able, and I would add, and anything else will be able to separate us from the love God has in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is exceptionally powerful, wonderful news. Wish we could read all of these, but we just probably shouldn't. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And this is probably the go-to scripture that you probably have written on your heart when you're having a bad day or can't get through something. the reality that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And so, when life begins to throw you a curveball, it's time to really get back into the vine, get back into the Word of God, get back on your knees. But it's also time to stay in the branches. This community of faith is a powerful tool for you. These confirmants that stood before you, you promised to watch over them and to lead them and to guide them. Did you know you said that? Maybe not. As you stood here and we as a collective body, we said we will help shape you on your journey of faith. Welcome to the family. And it is our responsibility to raise up this next generation. Because not all messes are just accident messes. Some of the messes we step right into ourselves. We cause a lot of our trouble. And we cause it when we get out of the Word of God and when we get out of the fellowship of believers and we start hanging out with people making decisions we shouldn't be making. And so the best thing to do is to return to the pack, return to the fellowship. And so what I offer for you today is if you're having trouble being a true follower of Christ, meaning it's easier for you to be a part of the crowd that waves Hosanna, Lord save us, when you're having a good day, when things are going well, when you're getting a raise, and when your kids are not in trouble at school. But if you find it hard to stand next to that crowd, when it shifts over and that same very fickle crowd becomes the crucify crowd, if you're feeling drawn into that, I would ask you to come forward today and pray that God would renew your spirit and renew your mind in Christ Jesus. That you would know that you know that you know that no matter what happens in this life, the circumstances are of no accord to what's waiting on us on the other side of glory. And that all these horrible things, or not even so horrible things, that are happening to us now are just being worked out on the other side of eternity for our redemption and God's glory. And I would pray that God would mold us into a community that has such rock solid faith in Christ that no matter what the circumstances we're presented with, we would stand with the triumphant saints of old and say, Lord, lead us to the cross. Not our will, but yours. Take my life, make it on your own. Do what you will. And if that means crucifying my hopes and dreams, crucify them. Because I don't want to live a day apart from you. If you're not in it, I don't want to be in it. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this fellowship of believers who testify to their desiring to be a part of you by gathering here this Sunday. I pray that you take the words from my mouth and the meditations from my heart and you brand it into their imagination. That you would help them to be a people that desires fellowship with you, Father, through scripture and prayer. And would you help them to realize this body of believers, these branches that are interlocked with you and each other, are here for them. And if there's any amongst us that needs prayer in this moment right now because they're going through something they feel like is going to sweep over them, would you bring them forward and have them turn their hands up? And our mighty, mighty prayer warriors filled with your Holy Spirit will be there to meet with them and pray for them. It is in your most holy and powerful name we do beseech you and ask these things of you. Amen.